blathering and writing about birds since I was in my 20s, way back in the mid-1970s. Because I learned about birds as an adult, I vividly remember how confusing everything about them was and how thrilling it was to start figuring it out, which is, I think, why I'm good at answering other people's questions about birds. Over the years, I've heard many of the same questions over and over and been struck by how very many people ask me about bird sex. I suppose it's related to our expression, the birds and the bees. Bird songs and displays are rooted in courtship, culminating in sex. And bird eggs are a universal symbol of fertility and reproduction. I'll never forget back in the 1980s, after I'd given a presentation at a nursing home, a tiny woman in a wheelchair raised her hand. When I called on her, she said in a quavering voice, "I've been wondering something for 87 years. How do they do it? When I wrote Sharing the Wonder of Birds with Kids, I made sure to include the answer to that, which in a roundabout way is why a local librarian started calling me the Dr. Ruth of Ornithology. Those universal questions about bird reproduction and the fascinating strategies different birds have for raising their young were the entire focus of my 2015 book, Into the Nest, Intimate Views of the Courting, Parenting, and Family Lives of Familiar Birds, and my forthcoming book, The Love Lives of Birds. I read and talk about some things over and over. People are gobsmacked to learn that ducks, unlike virtually all other birds, not only have a penis-like organ, but that it can be over half the length of the bird's whole body. A very few species, such as swifts, can mate in flight. In some species, males and females are both extremely promiscuous, including species in which mates seem absolutely devoted to each other, such as bluebirds. Only a handful of species, including swans, cranes, and Florida scrub jays, are absolutely faithful. All this is simply to say I've spent decades observing, researching, writing, and talking about bird sex and bird parenting. So I looked forward with special anticipation to the sections titled Love and Parenting in Jennifer Ackerman's new book, The Bird Way, and she did not disappoint. She traveled around the world to visit some of the ornithologists breaking new ground in our understanding of birds and to see their subjects firsthand. I sometimes talk about the bizarre nesting habits of megapodes, Australian brush turkeys, and mallee fowl. The males build ginormous mounds into which females lay their eggs and leave. The males tend to the mounds for months while the embryonic chicks are incubated by the composting process, the temperature closely monitored by the father. When the chicks finally hatch buried deep down, they must spend their first few days in the dark, digging their way up and out. When they finally reach the surface, they run off and raise themselves. If their father notices them at all, he literally kicks them off his mound. I've read about this over and over. Jennifer Ackerman actually got to see some of it happen. I'd be envious of her firsthand observations of these and such other amazing species that I'll never see in my life, as fairy wrens and Australian magpies and Japanese red-crowned cranes, if she hadn't been so vivid in her writing. It feels like I shared some of her experiences. The Bird Way, a new look at how birds talk, work, play, parent, and think, was a delightful read from start to finish. I'm sure it'll make the New York Times bestseller list as her splendid The Genius of Birds did. And unlike a lot of books, it'll belong there. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.